Okay, we're going to start. Dave Q and I are going to be leading this session. Charlie is our dashboard manager. Thanks to him. And thank you all for being present. You're hanging in there after all these sessions, and here you are. I'm just so grateful. You can continue to type things into the chat. I already see that we've had a lot of people who have benefited from the EA program just over this yesterday evening and today. So hi, I'm Betty. I admit I'm powerless over my emotions, and when I deny or ignore them, my life becomes unmanageable. Dave, would you like to introduce yourself? Oops, we need you to unmute.
Thanks for the reminder. I'm Dave, and I'm powerless over the arising of my emotions, and I'm on a joyful journey through these 12 steps. And Charlie, I have control of the screen right now, so I'm going to just move the slides as they go.
Thank you, Dave. I guess that means you're a dashboard manager as well. Thank you.
Okay, so thank you to everyone, Margot, Scott, Charlie. I'm missing someone who helped. Camille, who have helped lead other sessions, who have put so much effort into this. Thanks for everyone for being here. Just a very quick review. I thought at the end of the last session, that wonderful statement of Mr. Rogers, anything that is acknowledged can be dealt with. So that first part, anything that is acknowledged would be the awareness and the acceptance piece. So awareness is often when some event happens that really shows us what kind of trouble we're in. It's what alcoholics often refer to as their bottom, right? Bottoming out. That's when we become aware of the fact that, whoa, things aren't going so well. Acceptance is when we accept our portion of that and become willing to ask for help. And when we have done those things, then we get an attitude change, which is this can now be dealt with. Okay. So those were the first three sessions: awareness, acceptance, and attitude. This, whatever problems we're facing, can now be dealt with. So that's what this session is, how we're going to deal with them. So we want this workshop to practice becoming aware of our emotions, mindfully responding to them. We want each of you to feel safe in doing that in this workshop. And one way to do that is to maintain eye contact with the group. So I'm encouraging you, even when we do a screen share, to go ahead and go up to the view options at the top of your computer screen. And that will allow you to have a side-by-side view where you can see the screen share on one side and you can still see some people on the other. So you can still be maintaining that eye contact, which will help people to feel safe and connected. So throughout this workshop, we're going to be talking about many different emotions, but David and I aren't really going to use the phrases negative and positive emotions, because there is no moral quality to our feelings. They're just feelings. They're feelings that come and go. However, there are some emotions like happiness, contentment, serenity, calmness, joy, excitement, gratitude, anticipation that we like to feel. And there are others that most of us don't like feeling so much, like anger, grief, sadness, worry, anxiety, fear, loneliness, stress, restlessness, disappointment, and frustration. So the objective of this workshop is to get a working list of actions that can help us move from these uncomfortable emotions to the ones we are more comfortable feeling. Thanks to all who shared how they were feeling before the session. I'm just going to read a few of these off. Somebody felt integrity. We are safe in spite of ourselves. Okay. Interested in the concept of acceptance as a mean to healing. Grateful. This is just what I needed. Okay. See what else I can find. Comforted, tired, brain weary, but excited. Loved by attending this retreat. Very hopeful, grateful, full of heart. So I guess we can see from that the EA program is working, and that people are benefiting from what we're doing here. And we hope to enhance that feeling of well-being that many of you express by going through this session, and also to give us some tools to take home for when things aren't going so well. Okay. So I'm going to turn this over to Dave, and he's going to get us through a reading and the Serenity Prayer.
Thank you, Betty. Here is one of my favorite readings that I heard from a fellow EA member named Marie. It has helped me understand where to direct my EA actions. It's 16 things that letting go is, and 16 things that it is not. Incorporating these actions into my everyday life has helped me achieve more serenity, calmness, joy, and gratitude. We will call on participants to read and conclude with the Serenity Prayer. So we will have several slides if we want. Charlie, I'll let you call on people as they raise their hands, and feel free to say a pass.
Dolores.
Oh, we need to let go one, Charlie. Back one. There you go.
To let go does not mean to stop caring. It means I can't do it for someone else. To let go is not to cut myself off. It's the realization I can't control another. To let go is not to enable, but to allow learning from natural consequences.
Robin.
Okay. To let go is to admit powerlessness, which means the outcome is not in my hands. To let go is not to try to change or blame another. It's to make the most of myself. To let go is not to care for, but to care about.
Denise. You're muted, Denise.
To let go is not to fix, but to be supportive. To let go is not to judge, but to allow another human being. But to allow another to be a human being. To let go is not to be in the middle, arranging all the outcomes, but to allow others to affect their destinies.
Pass. And there's somebody from an iPad. If you would go ahead and unmute yourself and name yourself too, who you are.
My name is Devorah Leah. And to let go is not to adjust everything to my own desires, but to take each day as it comes and cherish myself in it. To let go is not to criticize or regulate anybody, but to try to become what I dream I can be. To let go is not to regret the past, but to grow and live for the future. Am I allowed to say anything about that?
No, we're not making comments now, but thank you. And then Deborah, if you would take slide number 6.
Oh, to let go is to fear less and love more. And to let go and to let God is to find peace. Remember, the time to love is short. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Charlie, would you like to let that person make a comment on the reading?
Okay. Deborah, did you want to make a comment now on the reading that we've read them all?
Yeah. Just a few days ago, I wanted to take a situation in my own hand. A friend of mine lost one leg as a diabetic, and he's hanging out in the bakery and eating the cakes there, and he's going to lose his other leg. His other leg is in bad shape anyway. So I was going to go over to the guy in the bakery and really come down hard on him that he shouldn't give this guy in the wheelchair, the diabetic, any more cake. And I was going to become really angry and almost dangerous. I don't know. I finally decided it's too much. I can't handle it all. And they're just going to say I'm crazy, and they're going to go on doing what they're doing. But the poor man, if he doesn't accept the fact he has a sugar addiction. And then I turned around on my table and I saw all these dark chocolate candies. And I said, Deborah, you're the one with the sugar addiction yourself. I tell you, it was really such a trip of anger and resentment and craziness that I went through. So it's to feel less and love more. I was really afraid for this guy, and I have to let God and find peace. And what I really felt was that only I could stop this guy from his sugar addiction. I just don't know anymore, but it was too much. Yeah, to let go is not to adjust everything to my own desires and permit another one to face reality.
Thank you very much.
Not to nag, scold, or argue, and to correct my own shortcomings. Thank you. I'm going to mute, all right? Or do you want to answer me?
All right.
Thanks, Deborah.
Somebody noticed we skipped slide 4. So Monique, would you like to read slide 4?
Absolutely. I'm Monique, and I'm powerless over my emotions. I'm from Chicago, Illinois, and I go to Serenity Now on Thursdays. To let go is not to be protective. It's to permit another to face reality. To let go is not to deny, but to accept. To let go is not to nag, not to scold or argue, but instead to search for our own shortcomings and correct them. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Bonnie.
Oh, if we could go back, Charlie, to the Serenity Prayer. There we go.
It's actually Dave. Dave is now the dashboard manager.
Okay, Dave. Okay. You want to do the Serenity Prayer?
I'll read the Serenity Prayer. You can stay muted, but join in with me. Silently, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things
I can,
and the wisdom to know the difference.
Thanks, Dave.
Sure, now it's your turn. We're going to do some yoga, I guess.
Yes, so one of the techniques I use to restore serenity is doing some yoga. So right now I'd like to practice about 10 minutes of chair yoga to help prepare us to take in whatever goodness comes our way in the next hour or so.
Well, I know many slides here.
I know a minute, you know, some people are a little bit, hesitant about yoga, thinking that it's going to require them to do things they can't do and that will be embarrassing or whatever. But I just want to assure you that this is going to be very simple. Okay?
Yoga or Yoda?
Yoga. So I invite you just to relax in the knowledge that you'll be able to do this. You don't need any special equipment. You can do this sitting in the chair you are currently in. You do not need to have any experience in doing yoga, and you do not need to be physically fit. Whatever level of fitness you are at right now is perfect. One of the benefits of learning these simple calming techniques is that they can be done anywhere, anytime. No need to get dressed up in special clothes and go to a class. That may be more than we're capable of doing sometimes in our lives. We keep it simple, we will be more likely to use the technique. So first of all, few things about yoga is that it's not aerobic exercise. You're not trying to do things fast or use a lot of strength. It's about purposeful, mindful, slow movement. Okay? Everything we do on one side of our body, we do in the other, so that when we end, we feel physically balanced, which helps us feel emotionally balanced. And you don't need to stress if anything is uncomfortable, just stop doing it and wait for the next thing. So if you want to move forward in your chair a little bit, so you aren't actually, your back is not touching the back of the chair, and sit up straight. Okay, place your feet on the floor if you can. And we're going to start with three cleansing breaths. And usually in yoga, whenever you're moving up, you breathe in. If you're moving up or expanding your body, you breathe in. If you're moving down or contracting your body, you exhale. Okay. I'm going to do three repetitions of each movement, not because that's the ideal number, but that kind of fit in the time constraints that we have. So for this first one, on the inhale, you want to imagine there's a string coming out of the crown of your head attached to the ceiling, and it is pulling you up on the inhale. So with each breath, you're going to get taller, okay? And that will give you more room in your chest to breathe in more air. On the exhale, I encourage you to really focus on, I don't know about you, but I carry a lot of stress in my jaw. I tend to clench my jaw a lot if I'm stressful. So that, of course, sends a message to my brain that there's something to be stressed about, and then I get even more stressed. So on the exhale, let your jaw just hang. Okay, let your jaw just hang real relaxed. Open your mouth a little bit so the air can just flow out of your mouth in a real relaxed fashion. Okay, so we're going to go inhale up, exhale. Again, inhale up, exhale. Even taller. Inhale up, exhale. This time, let your head just drop down towards your chest. We're going to do a few head rolls. So we're going to go clockwise. And on the upswing, you breathe in. On the downswing, you breathe out. Inhale, exhale. Inhale. Exhale, inhale, exhale. Now counterclockwise, same thing. Inhale. Exhale. Inhale. Exhale. And around once more. Okay. Now we're going to move our head and turn it to the left so we're looking over our left shoulder. Again, don't go any further than it's comfortable for you. You shouldn't be causing yourself any pain or stress. So as you move left, you're going to inhale. As you return to center, you're going to exhale. And then you're going to move, turn your head to the right on the inhale and exhale as you move it back to center. Here we go, to the left, to the center, to the right, to the center. Inhale, exhale, inhale, exhale, once more to the left, to the right. Now we're going to do some eye yoga. So you're going to start by moving your eyeballs, just your eyeballs, up to the ceiling as far as you can. That's the inhale. And then move them down to the floor as far as you can. That's the exhale. Inhale. Exhale. Inhale. Exhale. Once more to the ceiling, to the floor. Now move your eyes to the left, just your eyes, to the left on the inhale, to the center, and then to the right. So inhale to the left, exhale to the center, inhale to the right, exhale to the center, inhale to the left, to the right. Now we're going to roll our eyes like a teenager. We're going to go clockwise. Again, we're going to inhale. We're going to start from the bottom. We're going to inhale on the upswing and exhale on the downswing. So inhale, exhale, inhale, exhale. Once more to the top. Swing to the left, to the bottom. Now we're going to go counterclockwise. Inhale. Exhale. Swing around to the top. And to the bottom. Inhale. Exhale. Okay. That was a lot of exercise for our eyes. So let's give them a little reward. Take your hands and rub them together briskly so you generate some warmth. And very gently place them over to your eyes for a moment of rest. And we want to give our brain a little rest. So rub your hands together again, generate some warmth, and cover your ears for a moment of complete silence. Okay, now we're going to do a little shoulder yoga. We're going to do some rolls forward, starting down at the bottom. We're going to roll our shoulders forward and that on the inhale, and we're going to roll them backwards on the exhale. So roll forward, roll backwards. And again, inhale, exhale. Inhale, exhale. Now we're going to go the other way, rotate the other way. Inhale, exhale. To the back, inhale, exhale. Once more, roll to the top, scroll to the bottom. Okay. Now we're going to push our shoulders back so that we're pushing our shoulder blades together. Okay. Expanding our chest, opening ourselves up to all the good things that are going to come our way on the inhale. And then we're going to bring them forward, contracting our chest and expelling the air on the exhale, on the coming together. So here we go. Inhale. Exhale. Shoulders back. Shoulders forward. Shoulders back. Shoulders forward. Now, one of the things I do is I am a super responsible person. I think everything's my responsibility and that the whole world depends on me, which is simply not the truth. The world rotates every 24 hours without my doing a single thing about it. It just takes care of it. So a good exercise for me is just to shrug my shoulders and say, you know what? I don't need to worry about that. So raise your shoulders up to your ears on the inhale and then just let them drop. We're going to do three of those. Up to your ears and let it drop. Up to your ears. Let it drop. Once more. Up to your ears. Let it drop. Okay. So that's the end of our chair yoga. Hope you got some relaxation out of that. So after reading the meditation and practicing the yoga, we want you to check in with your feelings in the chat box again. Just noticing any differences in your emotions or whatever you're feeling right now. You may explain why or just state how you're feeling. We'll give you just a couple of minutes to do that. Okay, so we have less tense, happy, yawning, aware of how much tension I had in my shoulder, like the shrugging and the breathing. I feel lighter, less tired. Okay. Yoga always gives me hope. Feel lighter. Okay. So those are some things you may just want to remember. So right now we're going to, Dave is going to share his story with us. And so I just invite you to sit back, relax for a joyful EA journey.
Thank you, Betty. My name's Dave. And I've encountered many bumps in the road throughout my journey in life on the road to serenity and joy. Yesterday, we learned about the window of tolerance, and I've spent most of my life on one side or the other, sometimes too amputated. Can you hear me?
Yep, I'm good.
Right. Yep, I can hear you.
Yeah, good.
All right. So often I've been too numb. I spent a lot of time down here in the window of tolerance. So I've used the first three A's, awareness, acceptance, and attitude, to achieve a more balanced response so I can stay in my window of tolerance and have a good response to the triggers and past trauma that I've had in my life. But to rise to the level of serenity and joy, I've needed to practice the fourth A, which is action. So I've done this exercise and other retreats and other situations, workshops through work and through my spiritual programs. Create a roadmap with life's ups and downs, showing the experiences and circumstances linked to them. As I get close to finishing my sixth decade of life, if you can believe it, I've identified the emotions I've experienced during my peaks and valleys. During my low periods, I've experienced fear, loneliness, shame, anxiety, frustration, grief, worry, stress, more shame, and anger. On my life's highs from 0 to +10, I've felt security, happiness, excitement, more happiness, contentment, hope, calmness and recovery, serenity and joy. I'll do a quick journey through each decade of my life, focusing on the last decade that has led me to more consistent joy in my journey, despite the circumstances I face in life. I was born in 1962, the youngest of four children. Early on, I struggled with shyness and nervousness. I did feel strong and consistent love from my parents that made me feel secure. I learned about people pleasing very early, focusing on my studies. I don't remember having too many friends as a young child. And after we moved from Richfield to Apple Valley, this shy kid had to start over and make friends, leading me to experience loneliness. The 70s was an odd decade in many ways. Hard to fit into that box of normal with that weird hair and strange clothing and what was with those printed brown shirts. I remember more teasing than encouragement from my brothers and sister. Our unhealthy interactions made me feel shame. I learned music, taking piano lessons and playing the trombone in the band. I was good in academics, but not good in sports, and eventually felt happiness after making good friendships in the school and in the band. My parents encouraged me to find a sport, and I found cross country. My best friends were in the band, and I also got a big interest in learning Spanish. We took a three-week trip to Spain when I was a sophomore in high school. We also welcomed an Italian foreign student into our home, and I graduated in 1980. I loved my friends, but I still had a tough time overcoming the shyness and fitting in. The 80s, that was my adventurous decade where I had a lot of milestones. College was way more challenging than high school, so I had to work very hard to get good grades. That often left me with the unpleasant feeling of anxiety. My hard work paid off as I was awarded a year fellowship to Europe and got my first full job that I've not been at for that I've now been at for 35 years. I got married, we had our first son, and we bought our first home. Finding the wife of my dreams brought me the greatest happiness of my life to that point. My wife was a wonderful wife and mother. Although she started to battle anxiety and depression after the birth of our first child. I was as supportive as I could be, but I was also feeling overwhelmed at times. I found out just how emotional challenged I was when I experienced grief when my first close relative passed away, my grandmother, in 1992. I was literally a basket case at the funeral. I hadn't realized up to that point that I so intensely felt this emotion, and I figured I had to find comfort in a higher power. I decided to join the Catholic Church, and our family did become active members. I cherished my newfound relationship with God and found refuge in small faith groups and time with our family. It's often said that the big three stresses in marriage are problems with money, parenting, and sex. Well, we had all three. This made me feel worry and shame that got worse throughout the first decade of this century. We pretended to be happy during our family times and vacations. Fake it till you make it, right? but our smiles were half-hearted and even fake. I was making some personal bad choices. I was also battling my control issue, which was money, and I became depressed. I found that my higher power and small faith groups were not sufficient for me to help navigate through life and face my demons that were now taking over my life in full force. Pretending everything was great was getting harder and harder. I gathered the courage to get professional help, which gave me hope. Religion, therapy, and medication helped, but were still not enough. I hit rock bottom because our marriage got so bad that I had to move out of our house in 2009 for a few weeks. During that time, I discovered Emotions Anonymous. I immediately knew this was an excellent fit for me as I felt hope. I attended meetings regularly, made new friends, got sponsor, and as time went on, I worked the steps. Things got better for a while, but then they got worse. I became aware that I needed to improve my attitude and accept my circumstances as they came, but I wasn't working the program completely. I wasn't taking action. I hit a new rock bottom down here when we separated for the second time. This new rock bottom made me experience my toughest emotion, anger. As humiliated as I felt to be a 50-year-old man staying with my parents, I now see that this was a blessing in disguise. During our 10-month separation, I was able to learn more compassion towards myself. I started to feel serenity and greater gratitude. I did a thorough fourth and fifth step with my sponsor. I attended EA retreats, practiced greater spirituality, and had fellowship with me and EA friends during our regular Saturday morning breakfasts. Even my lows, my feelings of restlessness at work, were still on the plus side of zero. I'm sticking with the program and choosing healthy EA actions. I spent 5 years collaborating on this fourth step booklet with one of the wisest, most experienced EA friends. His name's Russ, and Charlie talked about him too. The gentle fourth step and non-judgmental fellowship of EA helped me immensely. I spent another 2 years collaborating on the workbook that we've been using today. I feel more comfortable sharing, and I can let criticism bounce off me much more easily, and I make healthier choices. I'm glad I have taken action to work the EA program more deeply. So now I will feel happiness when good things happen in my remaining journey ahead. And even when I face challenges and heartbreak, I can still feel joy as I stick to my positive EA actions. These are genuine happy smiles with my wife on vacation just this winter. I'm trying new things that I never dreamt I would try or enjoy, like appreciating nature, enjoying my wife's gardening, and learning to do it with her. I even went to a yoga class with my wife at the Y, and not being an artist at all and appreciating it at all, I actually did a watercolor painting of a cat. This was not with Sid at the retreat. I actually did this at a bed and breakfast. My wife surprised me at once. So as I continue to make a conscious effort to practice most of the actions found in our workbook and displayed in the next few slides, I now know that I can continue on the 0 to +10 side of my emotional scale throughout life. Thank you for the opportunity to share my story.
Wow, thanks, Dave.
Oh, they're going away. I gotta stop them. All right. Betty, were we gonna get volunteers to read each of these?
You're muted, Betty. Betty, you're muted.
Sorry about that. Okay, so we're going to ask for volunteers to read these. There's three slides, I think, three or four. Four, maybe. Yeah, there's four. Three to each one. And I want to thank Dave for that wonderful story. And I also want to thank everyone who has been checking in on the chat. May seem like a simple thing just to type your emotion, your feeling in on the chat, but it helps us all feel connected. It helps us all to accept and acknowledge and become aware of our feelings. So that that simple action is really making everything so much better. So thank you to everyone who is contributing in that fashion. Thank you to everyone who has read so far. So Leslie, could I ask you to start, and then we'll go with Cindy and then Mike.
I'd love to. 12 practices for thriving. 1, practice compassionate awareness of our emotions, thoughts, sensations, and experience. 2, practice positive thought substitution by reading spiritual texts. 3, practice journaling or taking some kind of personal inventory.
Okay. Cindy? Cindy, would you like to read? We'll come back to Cindy. Mike.
Okay, I got it.
Oh, you got it. Okay.
4, look for the good and list the things that you are grateful for. 5, maintain a healthy diet. 6, exercise, dance, or do yoga. 7, find hobbies like crafts or exploring the arts.
Thank you, Cindy. Mike?
8. Spend time in nature. 9, regularly call a wise friend who is also on the path. 10, go to a support meeting, church, or other place of collective meditative spiritual practice.
And Audrey, would you like to read?
11, do some kind of deeper emotional process work there. Say, 12, find a way to play.
Thank you to everyone who read. So as we said, there are many different names for our emotions, but many experts believe there are mainly just 4. Happiness, sadness, anger, and fear. Some experts add a 5th, loneliness. And because of the times we're living in with the pandemic, I thought we should add loneliness because I think that's a pretty common emotion right now. Right now, I would venture to say that many of us are feeling more grief, fear, and loneliness than we do normally. We not only grieve the deaths directly due to the pandemic, but there have also been increases in suicides, overdoses, and deaths for other diseases that have gone undetected due to the isolation we live in. And due to that isolation, many people are grieving without the comfort of a community. So many of us find ourselves in more need of strategies to deal with anger, grief, fear, and loneliness. So in response to that need, we're going to break into small groups and generate some lists of actions we can take. So we're going to have 4 groups, 1 for each of the emotions. So I have that we have 75 people here, might be a few more. So if we make groups of 19, that should give us 4. And the first group is going to generate a list. Oops, could we go back to that slide, please, that we were on? Yes. The first group is going to list strategies for coping with anger. Group 2 will be strategies for soothing sadness and grief. Number three will be strategies for calming fear. And number four will be strategies for overcoming loneliness. So we're going to take 20 minutes. We need, could we have the slide with the directions for the groups? That one, yes. So you're going to have 20 minutes. I know that's not a lot of time, but we're not looking here for a life story. We're looking for kind of simple actions that you can take. So if each person takes a little over a minute, everyone should have time to share. What we do need is a volunteer in each group to write these down, okay, as the participants in the group read them. And then that volunteer will also need to read the list when we get back to the large group, okay? And before we come back to the large group, let's take a 5-minute break to attend to any personal needs you might have, including taking a stretch. Okay, I'm going to put the instructions for the small group into the chat. Okay, and who's ever doing the dashboard, I think it's David, is going to take care of moving us into small groups. It goes, and I'm sure we're going to come up with a great list of things people can do. So one of the things I have done is write a list of 10 things that bring me happiness, and I have it taped to the inside of a kitchen cabinet door, so I can find it easily when I'm upset. Because if I'm really upset, many times the only thing I can think about is how upset I am. So some of the things on my list are very simple, like eating a grapefruit. The important thing is to have a list to fall back on when you need it. So maybe as we read these lists of actions, you might want to have a notepad ready so you can jot down the ones that seem the most useful to you. And I'll also try to type them in the chat. So Maria, if you would first of all tell us which emotion you focused on in your group.
Well, we assumed we were group one, so okay. One was anger, so we
right.
On anger.
All righty.
And it's a long list, so I don't know how fast you want me to say it, but in coping with anger, we wrote, talk to a trusted friend, give yourself opportunity to grieve, journaling, listening, soothe ourselves or calming ourselves. For example, deep breathing, comfort ourselves by attending to our body safety needs, put a blanket on if you're cold and just hold on to a blanket. Someone said counting 1 to 10 or 10 to 1 to slow down the energy, to calm the energy from when one is angry. Giving yourself a hug, going for a walk, hitting a pillow or just punching the air so you don't hurt yourself. Going to nature, watch nature, be it a fish or a bird, to see how they handle disagreements and then how they are able to shake it off. Being honest, admitting of the pain or trigger, just saying ouch if it hurts, whatever caused the pain, the anger. Praying to our higher power, praying also for that person who caused the anger, preparing something good or being kind or a gift for that person allows you to get out of the anger and treat compassion. Giving thanks for the anger and recognizing it's a signal to pay attention, to acknowledge it, and to take some healthy action. Acknowledging that being angry is okay, it's just how you react to it that we need to pay attention. Ask what do I need in the moment, getting to know what is the root cause of the anger, to speak out loud, instead of having poor coping skills like eating, shopping, avoiding, or distraction. And then we talked about how, H-O-W, openness, honesty, opening, and being willing is the H-O-W. And then the last someone was talking about ego, which is edging God out. When we focus on our ego, we focus on just our own anger instead of showing compassion to another person or to ourselves. So we have to invite our higher power back into the picture so that we are reminded to not let just behave like the little child that is just having a tantrum, but being that mature person as well. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Maria. Thanks a whole bunch. Thanks to everyone who contributed. Okay, our next volunteer, it looks like, is Mike.
Oh, we weren't sure which one we were supposed to pick, so we all kind of came up with the census to do fear. And what we came up with was working the first few steps and to talk to someone in the program and letting their higher power to take care of the outcome. And then we also, a couple of us talked a lot about using meditation and prayer to overcome our fears and to be in the moment. And also a suggestion has come up. There's a lot of good books out there on anxiety and fear that are very good reference materials. And, you know, so doing some research on anxiety and causes. And so that's what our group came up with for fear. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, Mike. Terrific. Okay, Deborah. Deborah, I see your hand is up. Are you ready to share?
Yes, I that thing that came up wouldn't let me unmute. I don't mean to get angry. Well, my group was number 9 and we didn't know what that meant. So we just talked about emotions in general and got into people who retreated from society for a year, came back, and people who had depression. And we had some we had usual suggestions like exercise, inventory, journal, breathing, take a bath, healthy ways to react to emotion, action, awareness, acceptance, reemerging from the withdrawal by attending meetings. But some said walk, go to stores, walk dog, cuddle dog, hiking nature, feed sparrows, higher power connection, house of worship, gratitude. And then somebody came with a new method that they're using medically. And it's called ketamine infusion, which is something that you go to a medical doctor. This person was California, but she thinks it's all over. And it makes you hallucinate and get deeper into who you are. And then there's another thing called ayahuasca therapy, which is in South America. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you. I don't know if I got all of those, but I got at least some of them. Okay, Leslie, would you like to share?
Love to. I was in a part of Breakout Room 5. And we, based on majority rules, we went with fear and some strategies to cope with fear. So we had one member believe held strongly that a belief in a benevolent higher power to get ultimately to the emotional, the emotion of fear blocking her. And from that might result in, you know, the example provided was if you had a fear of scarcity, that you, the strategy is to, you know, buy stuff and basically ensure your basic needs are met, even though those might be non-emotional, but the benevolent higher power ultimately helps, is a strategy. Some other strategies we listed were avoidance, as in not ready to deal with yet, turning inward, or some self-reflection to take a pause versus reacting, breathing, yoga, meditation, journaling, sharing with a friend. The basics of realizing you're afraid is a strategy to turn to, and acceptance and surrender to complete our list. Thank you.
Thanks, Leslie. All right, we have Jill.
Hi, we conversed about anger, and our group came up and did some sharing about anger issues that we've been experiencing, each of us lately. Attending EA meetings, and one person said that she actually attended up to 8 hours a day when she needed to in the last holiday period in December. I guess with Zoom, you could kind of go one to the other. The other thing is practicing calmness, support from talk therapy with a professional therapist to evaluate underlying aspects of anger, getting support from a spouse or close friend, someone who's trusted, journaling, music, learning, being open to learning effective tools that appeal to us, physical exercise, and noting times of inner restlessness and knowing when we do need to get up and exercise. And then journaling. That was our list.
Thanks. All right. Dolores.
Hi. So we were in group 6 and we didn't know which emotion to deal with. So we kind of did all of them. So this might not be an exhaustive list of each emotion, but we covered them all. So with anger, physical activity, you know, walking or some kind of other activity to discharge the anger, journaling, becoming quiet and taking a pause before responding or reacting rather, talking it out, preferably with a trusted friend, deep breathing, saying the serenity prayer, reading the just for todays, and some form of self-care, taking a bath or doing something nice for oneself. That was anger. So for the grief and sadness, we had have a good cry, and if it, either alone or with a good friend, journal, being good to oneself, self-care, talking over the grief with a friend, definitely supportive friends, and outside of pandemic, of course, a grief support group that was grief and sadness. With fear, journaling, physical activity, discerning if the fear is real, and then discerning what to do with it, calling a friend, turning it over to the higher power, deep breathing, self-regulation, like the hand over the heart, waiting for it to pass, and facing it and making a positive change. That was fear. And finally, with loneliness, reaching out by phone, taking a walk, even if you're alone, just to see other people socially distant, Zoom meetings, of course, EA and others, dog walking, going out and exploring nature, connecting with family at home to do things for them or with them, visits when possible, socially distant, volunteering, and finally outdoor sports. And that those are our lists. Thank you.
Wow, you covered a lot of ground there in your group. Thank you so much, Dolores. Okay, Karen.
Okay, we were group 7, so we decided to, we chose fear. A couple of things that we talked about is that the opposite of fear is having faith in our higher power. And some people talked about looking, using the yellow pamphlet to step away and read the yellow pamphlet, just to step away from a situation to get in another space and maybe take them into a different place where they can, the fear isn't the number one thing in their head. Let's see, they were doing readings and meditations from the Today book. They found that to be very helpful. Faith was a strong one with all four of us, I think. You know, calling somebody, especially if it's somebody from EA who understands where we're coming from. Another one was just to call others to get some grounding, and then gratitude for the gifts from our higher power. And having that faith that our higher power would give us the directions, you know, give us direction and help us find where we needed to be. And just gratitude, you know, all of us seeing the gifts that our higher power sometimes puts in front of us, you know, actually that serendipitous type of thing where all of a sudden something that brings you joy kind of pops up or shows up and it helps dissipate the fear. And just learning to trust that your higher power will get you through things, because let go and let God works really well for sometimes for handling fear. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Karen. Sounds like fear is on our minds in this time. Makes sense. Makes a lot of sense. Sarah, could I ask you?
Yeah, we had a group of 2, but the main things we talked about were, of course, prayer, attending meetings. This was for grief and sadness.
Okay.
Spending time in nature, of course, talking to a friend or a fellow in the program, deep breathing with long exhales out the mouth, movement, shaking, stand, bounce, shake, or dance to lyrical or whatever kind of music helps you move emotion. But movement was key. Watching a sad or tearjerker movie or heartbreak, listening to a heartbreak song to move the tears. Poetry. That's our list for approaching grief.
Thank you, Sarah. Sharon.
Yes. Well, we know we had fear because Dave was in our group and we were assigned that number. So I'll just try to skim through what others have not said. It's been interesting to see the common things that have come up in all of them. That's almost another retreat, I think. Anyway, the breathing came up, think positive talk. Take counsel to your fear, which is to attend to it. Remember that insecurities in our childhood can be part of the fear we have today. So it's like, well, today I can manage that, but that's like an old memory, an echo of conditioning childhood. Don't feed the fear, face the fear. I think that also speaks of faith. Talk to the fear. If you can self-nurture, you can bring it down, like parenting yourself. You have to ask, and why am I afraid? You really need to look at it and then name the fear. To remember, we're conditioned by our environments. Many of us were raised by parents post-World War II, and they had a lot of trauma in their lives. So we carry their trauma in our fears. We can talk about your fears. So you want to call someone. We need to know it's not our fault. We talked about the primitive mind, that the human has a primitive mind. And so we have to use our higher intelligence, reasoning, things from the program to counteract the primitive mind. Remember, this too shall pass. Remember that fear is a very natural occurrence. Doesn't mean there's something wrong with you for having fear. It's an emotion. It's not fact. We can be aware of the fears sometimes through our behaviors or our body, so that we're back to awareness then. To remember that being angry is also part of fear. So it might not be what I'm afraid of, but how have I been hurt, or what is happening here? Fear is not all bad. There is something that a wisdom in fear, that we need to be self-protective. Maybe this isn't the safe thing to do. Maybe this relationship is not safe or good for my well-being. And I think prayer was another one, trusting the higher power to have the power to carry something out that we might be afraid of. We didn't talk about procrastination, but that kind of came up in my mind later, that procrastination is something we deal with depression, but I think it's also a symbol of the fear we have. And I pass.
Okay. Thanks, Sharon. Terry, would you like to share?
Sure. So I too will try to just very briefly highlight some things that others have shared, but then give a little bit more context of what was shared in our group. We were group four, and so we, and loneliness was the fourth thing. And so we chose loneliness. And one of the things that seemed to come up with most of us is that it's really important to have people in our lives that we can connect with, who we really connect with. In other words, they are maybe on the same path as we are and can support us in our own recovery, and we in their recovery, so that there's an honesty going back and forth there. Because if they're not in that kind of a place, that we actually can feel lonely even when we're with a person that is not not in the same groove that we're on. So that was one thing that I saw come up. One of the things that was talked about was in warmer times, meeting with friends in person rather than on Zoom. We're all meeting on Zoom these days, and there is really a difference between being there in person or being in Zoom, even though a lot of us like it and we really are thankful for it. And some of us have a trauma past, and so it can be hard to take an initiative to reach out. But it's very important to reach out. Other things that phone contact, again, the virtual meetings, sometimes even a good book when we can relate to the characters in the book. Classes, some of us are taking classes, and that's helping. And for me, I talked, one of the things that that didn't come up with others that I can hear is that I'm also an artist, and a lot of my art things that I was doing with others fell apart during this time. And so that's been something that has caused me to be lonely. And the other thing is that I was very affected by the George Floyd murder, and I actually stopped doing my own art for several months. And just in the last week, I've been starting to do art again. And that's one of the ways that I connect with myself. And I'm an introvert. And so I really need that time to connect with my own inner person. And that's been very difficult during this time. So And then I have a wonderful husband, and so I'm fortunate that way. And so we keep each other from being so lonely. And less helpful than that, but I'm thankful for, I have a family member who I've been estranged from for about 5 years, and he's in early recovery. And he started reaching out to me about 2 months ago, and he's still not really understanding the recovery process, and he's not completely safe, but I'm very, very thankful for that budding reconnection. So I think that's all I have. And I wanted to, one of the people that was talking about anger, one of the early people, I'm not sure who it was. I actually had to do a lot of anger work back in the late 80s, early 90s. And the therapist that I was working with was kind of striking out with me about processing my anger. And she finally suggested throwing eggs at trees. And I live kind of in a wooded area. And that kind of worked for me. And so I would throw the egg, and I needed a big tree because I don't throw very well. And then I would let go of the egg, and I would watch it splat on the tree and kind of run down. And I would name whatever it was that I was angry at. And it kind of got me, it got the anger out of my body in a way that nothing else was. But she also said that we could throw ice cubes in the shower, or marshmallows in the sink, or rolled up socks at the TV, those kinds of things. So I just wanted to add that. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Terry. Dave, do you see anyone else with their hand up?
I do not.
Okay. Well, then we'll move on.
Lorraine.
All righty.
Hey, thanks for noticing. I started to feel a little weird. No, that's okay.
Sorry about that.
No, it's okay. It's quite okay. I'm kind of joking. That's one of my ways to cope with stuff, right? Anyway, I have no idea what group we were in, but there were three of us, two other lovely ladies, Dorothy and Nancy. And we decided we would go with anger and fear. And so some of the things have already been shared for sure. Each one of us have had childhood experiences that attribute to the anger and fear and how we deal with them. And so some similar stuff was awareness of the anger or whatever it is, acknowledging the anger. Was an important piece. And then awareness of how our body is reacting to the anger, writing down any resentments, breathing, prayer, sitting quietly to just relax and exercise outside. When any kind of exercise, but outside always adds that extra element to it. And the fear it's even printing and it's hard. Okay. The EA retreat itself has helped someone immensely just being here this weekend and using the 12 steps, working them, Serenity Prayer, Yellow Pamphlet, Today Book, focusing on the positive, having a gratitude journal and doing 5 positive things a day. And finding that the tools are there to whenever someone is triggered by fear, that those tools can be very helpful. Getting in touch with your sponsor, giving positive reinforcement, and assessing the situation that we're in, and then to help us to sort of know where to go next. Definitely connecting with our higher power. And I think that's about it. So thank you.
Thanks, Lorraine.
Thanks for noticing me.
Okay, Okay, so then we're going to move into some closing activities. Thanks, everyone, for contributing in those small book groups. Thanks to the volunteers who reported back. I think we ended up with quite a list, quite a great list, and that's thanks to you participating. So I personally have developed a few routines that incorporate mindfulness and meditation, and they've really helped me in finding serenity when events in the world have caused me to come undone a little in one way or another. And I would like to share these with you now. It'll be about 10 minutes. You don't need any experience in meditation. These will be very simple again. So what I'm going to ask you to do is sit up straight in your chair again, put your feet square on the floor. And we're going to start with three deep breaths in and slow the exhale at your own speed. And then we'll pick it up from there. So this is first one is a visualization that I do, and it helps to remind me that feelings are temporary. They come and go. As one of the slogans tells us, this too shall pass. And that's the way it is with our feelings. None of them is permanent. So what I like to do is visualize, pretend that I'm on a beach somewhere. I pretend that I'm on a beach in Puerto Rico, where I was a number of years ago. And I'm sitting in the sand, and I kind of, you know, work my butt down there into the sand. So the sand is really supporting me, okay? And I stretch my legs out and work those into the sand as well, so that the sand is just supporting me like that, and I'm feeling relaxed and comfortable. And I'm sitting in a place where the waves are going to come up and just wash up over my legs and then roll on down back to sea. So the first wave that comes up is happiness, and it covers my toes, my legs, comes up a little to my waist and rolls back out to sea. And then comes sadness. And it comes up and spreads some sand on my legs, recedes, pulls the sand along with it, forms a few little bubbles on the beach, and rolls back out to sea. And then comes joy. It comes on up, splashes over my feet and legs. And then it too curls over on itself and rolls out to sea. Then another wave comes up, and this one is anger. And it covers my feet and my calves, my knees, my thighs. Rolls over and goes back out to sea. And then comes contentment. It comes on up, slowly covers up my legs, has some white bubbles and foam, and rolls back out to sea. And then comes fear. It comes on up, crashes over on my feet, my legs, crashes down upon itself and just goes back out to sea. And then I have gratitude, which comes on up, covers my feet, throws sand on my legs. And I'm grateful for the sun, the sand, the waves, the sea, and the variety of emotions that life brings to me. Take another breath. Slowly open your eyes if you close them. And oh gosh darn, we're back in Minnesota and there's snow. But we had a nice little vacation where the palms were waving, didn't we? Yeah. So it gave us a little break, and we can take those breaks when we need them. Okay. The next one is a little meditation that I do, and I use my fingers, my thumbs on my different fingers like this, because the touch of my fingers helps my mind to stay present. So it doesn't go off into la la land in the middle of the meditation, which my mind has the tendency to do. And then what do you know, I'm back in resentments or God knows what. And this is a direct response to much of my childhood. Because in my childhood, my needs were not met. And it was not even considered important to meet my needs. In fact, self-sacrifice was what everybody was supposed to be doing. So that's the first, when I touch the first finger, that's what I need. I take in what I need. I let go of what I don't need. The next one is my wants. My mother used to say, your wants aren't worth a broomstick. So they obviously were not considered important in my family. And it's also a good thing to remember at the end of this retreat. You've heard a lot of things. They were based on, I think, the EA program. But everyone is different and everyone's experience in life has been different. So what we often say is take what you want and leave the rest. So that's a good reminder now too. The next one is take what you like. When I first started working with a therapist, she used to ask me what I wanted and what I liked. And I would say, how would I know? I never took time to think about what I wanted or liked. So that was a revelation. And the next one is what I enjoy. I take in what I enjoy. And then I put all the fingers together and I say, I take in what is good for me. And let go of what is not good for me. Because, you know, if I let my child run wild on what I want and like, I can get into some trouble with that. So I need to kind of bring myself back to adulthood and what it is that's truly good for me in my recovery. So if you want to close your eyes, or you can leave them open, or touch our first finger and a deep breath. I take in what I need. I let go of what I do. I take in what I want. I let go of what I don't want. Take in what I like. I let go of what I don't like. Take in what I enjoy. I let go of what I don't enjoy. I take in what is good for me. I let go of what is not good for me. You want to hold those thoughts for just a moment and open your eyes. Okay, and for the last one, I give myself a hug. And I start, this one is going to be a little prayer. This is a little prayer that I often end my meditation with. And I start by listing the names of people that I'm having trouble having a relationship with or not having a relationship with, or just people who are causing me some discomfort in one way or another, okay? And I list them. And then I go, I'm gonna take little circles. You have to sit so your back isn't touching your chair. And take little circles with your upper body while you're hugging yourself. And I pray for everybody, including the people that I just named. May everybody be well. Another little circle. May everyone live in peace. May everyone experience love. Now I'm going to circle the other way and I'm going to pray for the same things for myself. May I live in peace. May I be well. And may I experience love. And then I give myself a little shake and I make a commitment to myself. I am going a very gentle, loving shake. I will love myself. I will take care of myself. I will comfort myself. Well, that kind of finishes that part of the program. Before we leave, we need the screen share again. Who's ever doing that? And I want to go to the slides for the just for today's. And we again are going to need some people, volunteers, to read these. Okay. So if you want to raise your hand, I think we're going to need about 5 people. Okay. Oops. And so, all right, we have Denise. If you would read the first slide, please.
I will try to be happy, realizing that my happiness does not depend on what others do or say or what happens around me. Happiness is a result of being at peace with myself.
Thanks. Audrey.
Trying to be happy may be an entirely new concept for us. Wishing or hoping for happiness is one thing. Trying to achieve by taking action is another. What stands in the way of my happiness?
Cindy. Oops, you need to unmute Cindy.
Okay, there we go. The nasty weather, the car that has to go to the shop, my needy family. But if happiness really comes from inside me, these negative events should just be a ripple on the surface of my serenity.
Okay, Karen.
Life will always have problems. The alternative, death, is not attractive. Living with problems will just have to be part of my plan.
Robin.
But I can rise above these ever-present problems and choose to live in my happiness. For as the second half of this Just for Today points out, happiness is relatively simple. It is a result of being at peace with myself.
Thanks to everyone who volunteered. And thanks, Dave, for doing that. And then I would also like to have the next slide, Dave, the one about how to know if you need more help. Okay, thanks. So before we close, I would like participants to share once again in the chat how you are feeling right now. If you've had any changes in the way you feel during this workshop or during the entire retreat, and why that is. So we're going to do another little feelings check-in. Okay, so if you want to go ahead and type those into the chat. And before we close, I would like to remind members that in this time of crisis, you may need to ask for more help. How will you know? You may want to seek professional